Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 23, brought to you by Chaos Group. As many of you may know, I was actually at FMX a few weeks back in Stuttgart, and I did a talk over there. And while I was there, I might as well just bring the podcast gear with me and do some talks with some of the clients that we have over there. One of them is Makavision, and Makavision has been a user of V-Ray for a very, very long time. And they've actually started to expand, and they have a new visual effects department where their work on Game of Thrones is actually quite good and quite well known at this point. They also have been using Phoenix, another one of our some other software we do for Fluid Sims, in case you guys aren't familiar with it. So it's really cool to hear all of the different stuff that they've been doing with our software. I actually had to break up the podcast into several pieces because I could only get access to people for a certain amount of time. So this one is actually a little bit edited, and it's also was running a little too long. So what I decided to do is to break it up into two sessions. So I'm going to do a Makavision part two, probably sometime midweek for you guys. So it'll be a little bonus episode. This particular first episode is going to be with the VFX supervisor, Jörn, who is really, really great. And I talked about a bunch of things in terms of starting the visual effects department and the work they did on Game of Thrones. And then we get into more detail with Christian, who's their CG supervisor, about a bunch of the work that he's done, including the work on Phoenix. So it was really, really great chatting with them, and I really appreciate it. And stand by for part two later in the week. All right, thanks, guys.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
Yeah, like I said, this is my first time in Stuttgart. I've never been here. How big is the city of Stuttgart approximately? I'm trying to figure that out.
About 600,000 people. I think it's the fifth or sixth biggest city in Germany.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But it seems very walkable. Like everywhere that I've had to go, it's like, it's 50 meters away.
Yes.
It's 100 meters away.
I think that's also because the town center is in a valley.
Uh-huh.
But behind the hills, there's still, you know, suburbs and everything.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you're right. You can walk.
You can walk pretty much everywhere, which is nice. I guess that's what makes it a good place for events like FMX, is that you can just go from one place to the next all
absolutely.
The time.
Yeah. And for bar hopping as well.
Bar popping, which has been great. I've thought it's been really great. So Makavision, I've known Makavision for a while. Obviously, they've been V-Ray customers for a long time, so good friends of ours. But what's happened more recently, and this is part of what we're here, is you guys have been starting a new visual effects department, right? So what is Makavision traditionally known for before that?
I think Makavision's actually started like they were editing music videos and everything in a small town called Sindelfing, and stuff like that. And then they started, or Makavision started with, I think, 10 people or something.
Exactly.
Small size. They started with visualization for the automotive industry. Yeah.
I think also in 1995, so 20 years.
20 years. So 20 it's been years. Around for a long time.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And a lot of it, the main goal was automotive customers, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So I think that the first idea from our boss, Armin Pohl, who's the owner of the company, was really then when he started to work with the automotive industry. You know that every picture was made by a photograph. So he wanted now to change it and render it and do it with CGI because he could see the possibilities of it.
And that was quite innovative 20 years ago.
It was. It was, absolutely. And now we are producing, I don't know, millions of pictures.
Absolutely.
Someone counted it, actually, but I can't remember it. You know, it's really millions of pictures.
Okay.
Still images and turntables for online configuration. So if you go, for example, to Mercedes.com and you want to buy a car, you can choose the color and everything. This is all done by us.
Right.
All the images are generated by us. So Yeah, a lot of work to do.
And so because of that, now the company has grown to be much, much bigger. So how big is the company overall?
I think right now we are approximately something about 340 or 50 people all around the globe. So a huge growth, actually, so in the last years.
And how many, so you said around the globe, so how many offices are we talking about approximately?
Actually, we just discussed this. We've been completely sure. I think it's 14 at the moment.
14,
yes, 14 offices.
Okay. So a lot. That's a lot.
So from Los Angeles, Detroit, New York, London, of course, headquarters in Stuttgart, Hamburg, Munich, Florence, Paris, Tokyo, Shanghai, Beijing. I hope I didn't miss.
And where are your main offices? You, basically, you seem to have offices wherever you have clients. Yeah,
exactly. Right. That's the point. But we also have, of course, some of the offices there, like, you know, just a sales office where we have sales, sales guys.
Yep.
But in our offices, we are doing real production, like producing images and everything. So Detroit is very big. Stuttgart is the headquarter.
Right.
So about 150 people work here.
Okay. So that's almost half the company is in Stuttgart. In a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But also Detroit is ramping up. So probably,
absolutely.
Yeah. So probably we will grow like 50 people more or something in general the next couple of months.
And your visual effects department now. So let's want to move over to that because I think you don't have much time. I want to make sure we talk about it. Your visual effects department, how big is that?
Right okay. Now? Well, it's
and when did it start? Let's start when it started.
Yeah. Basically, it started about 2 years ago. I joined the company. And our three other guys and Jimmy joined the company, so we just had a small offices and some cell phones and that's it.
Right.
I came from our visual effects company, so
so it was a little visual effects startup inside of the company in a sense.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So we looked also on the pipeline here and everything so we got our first project, which was international project, which was Game of Thrones season 4.
Right.
While we work on the project, we also build up the pipeline. We introduce Shotgun, a proper naming convention, everything which worked for us. And we brought more people on board. And at the end, I think the maximum size was then 40 people working on Game of Thrones almost 2 years ago. And it was quite a success then. And projects were coming, and we work now on season 5. I just finished like 1.5 weeks ago. Hooray!
Yeah,
and very exciting time.
I remember when the video the making of stuff that you guys did, and you put it on Vimeo, I think.
Yeah,
exactly. It was out there. It was very impactful, and there are several reasons why I think. One is it went viral.
Yeah,
I went crazy. Everyone went, "Oh my God, look at this." And what I really liked, first of all, it was beautiful work, which is unquestionable. But what was also really interesting about it is that it was the first time in a long time that I've seen people, especially the press, celebrate visual effects in that way. And they were looking at it like, I didn't know that was. It's like, of course not. They didn't build a medieval city. they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And they were celebrating the visual effects, which was really, really nice for me to see that. And I thought it was really impactful. And the fact that the regular press was looking at it wasn't just the FX guides and the people that we would expect to celebrate but it was places like The Verge and even like Huffington Post and stuff like that that were going. So it was really quite nice, and you guys should be really proud of that. So tell me a little bit about the work that you guys did on that.
You mean on the making of video?
Yeah, or not that making of, actually Game of Thrones, and then we can talk about making
of. Yeah, just because this is a funny thing, because before we put this online, I think we had some car stuff online, and it got, I don't know, 1,000 clicks or something.
Right.
And we got with this video, I think in 1 week, 3 million clicks.
Amazing.
Right.
So the marketing department was going crazy.
They didn't know what to do with it.
What should we do? You know, that was completely overhung. What's a funny situation.
Yeah.
So on Game of Thrones, I've worked, the first time I worked on Game of Thrones was on season 2. Mm-hmm. I supervised the battle with the ships, Blackwater Bay.
Oh, Blackwater,
With the green explosion and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also where I met Steve Kalbeck, which is the visual effects producer from HBO side. Mm-hmm. And so somehow it worked out quite well, and we understand each other and everything. And then on season three, Joe Bauer came on board, visual effects supervisor for HBO, and I supervised season three from London. And what we've done here for season four was mainly was a lot of King's Landing shots. If you know Game of Thrones,
yeah, of course.
With the Red King
and
everything.
I'm a passionate reader of the book and the show.
Who's not? Honestly, I haven't read the books, but I'm a big fan.
That's
of
okay, Fellowship. But they make it very much so that if you enjoy the series, you can enjoy the series. Yeah. Sometimes watching it is a disappointment because you already know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's good.
I think our most iconic shot was really the Titan shot, where we also won the VS award for that.
Yeah,
for some of our guys.
Congratulations.
Yes, this was really hard to work on, I have to say. We almost worked 2.5 months on that shot. If you know TV a bit, this is it's really intense. I mean, the difference between TV and feature film is really the timing, you know.
Yeah, you don't have much time.
No, you don't have. You have
but what's amazing about a show like Game of Thrones is that they're delivering, I think you guys are delivering visual effects quality shots that are rival some of the stuff that you see in feature films, and you're doing it with a team that's probably 1/10 the size, and you're doing it in, you know, 1/10 the time.
Yeah.
So I think it really sort of proves that it's possible and that you guys are doing some amazing work on that.
Yeah. Way, so. I mean, it's only possible because we know the client very good. There's a very trustful, very, very trustful and good relationship with the clients. For example, I only had a couple of CineSyncs this year, and the other stuff, we sent it out, and communication was over email and stuff. They know, we know what they want, and they know what they can expect from us.
And they don't have time
us.
To go back and forth. And
exactly. Like, so it, I think we have also the same pictures in mind already for the stuff, which helps, you know. And it's as you said, it's a very demanding show. I think it's the most demanding show on TV at the moment, because you want to have the feature film quality in that short
and you can't have something cheap in that show. It has to look really great.
I mean, the whole production value, everything is great. The costumes, the actors, the script. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it rocks. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I just realized that we may actually know someone. So there was someone that when I first worked in visual effects, I was sitting in a room. I was working on Day After Tomorrow, and the guy that's sitting next to me was Rainer Gombusch.
Oh, yeah.
So I know Rainer.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the overall show supervisor on season two.
Yeah.
He was one of my colleagues on when I was with Pixamondo.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I realized that you may actually know who he is.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of the process. How did you guys do it? You guys did a lot of environment work, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what was some of the process for doing that environment work?
Well, what we do, we start all the time with a rough geometry layout. So we got all the perspectives right already. You can discuss the composition in general, how it works,
right?
How the shot will look in edit and everything. And most of the time, we also do like a basic texture version already, a basic lit version of it. Mm-hmm. And then we have a bunch of very, very, very talented matte painters here.
Right.
Who, yeah.
Basically, do the matte painting. Are you guys doing projections of those matte paintings?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And how is the process of doing that?
We build up the geometry in 3D Max.
Mm-hmm.
And then we export the whole scene to Nuke. So the projection is then set up in Nuke. So we are very flexible with changes and everything.
Okay.
Yeah. And also our matte painters got the basic Nuke setup. So they can test their matte painting easily if it works for the projection and if it works in the shot and everything.
Have you guys looked into the new V-Ray for Nuke?
Actually, that's a good question. I just, I was in on a university and did a presentation of Game of Thrones like 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago or something, and I met one of the Chaos Group guy, Alexander, and greetings to him if he is listening.
I'm sure he is.
And he introduced me to one of the DNA guy who showed me what the test scene, and it was really, really impressive, I have to say. So I just want to get one of your guys here to do presentation for our compass, because
I'm sure we could probably figure that out.
Yeah.
All right,
and it looked awesome. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's a really interesting market. I think also what makes it so interesting is that you can exchange the shader parameters between your 3D package and your 2D package.
Yep.
So if you want to have, you know, strong shader, a strong compositor, mm-hmm. they can work on the look and you know, together and exchange exchange the parameters and everything. That's really
I think
great.
There's also a different way you can also look at it. I mean, there's so many ways to think about it, right? I don't think that when you say we're putting V-Ray inside of Nuke, there's like, I don't know why I would do that. But there's a lot of ways you can actually do that. So one of the other ideas that, one of the things I worked on, which I think would be a benefit for the V-Ray for Nuke crowd, is that I was working with a matte painter on when I was doing on Tron.
Yeah.
And it was a big reveal shot, similar to what you guys are doing. But Tron has a very specular reflective world, right? So we projected all the diffuse on there. And then for the specular, we made a specular version of the projection map.
Mm-hmm.
And then we rendered the reflection so you would get the reflections to move as you moved across.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the same thing now in Nuke.
Yeah.
You just project mm-hmm. both, and then you're like, and then I'm just going to render the reflections, and then I'm all done.
Yeah.
And then you could just work in one package, because I think what's for a lot of matte painters these days are 2D and 3D artists sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so they work in 3D, they mask it up, and they get it, and then they paint on top of that, right?
Yeah.
And I think that the problem that they have is that they have to go from Nuke, you know, Photoshop, Nuke, 3D package, whether Max or Maya, back and forth. And this. And if they can reduce that to only one package and then they do all their work inside of Nuke, I think it would be a much more
absolutely, beneficial. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was really impressed about the quality, really. This is, looks yeah. very interesting.
Yeah, and I think it'll... It could bring up some new things, especially for the matte painting world, because I think that suddenly you'll start to see more of some of those subtleties in a shader that you can get from a camera move that a matte painting will keep flat a little bit sometimes. But I mean, obviously, what you guys have done is really cool. Now, I heard you guys also did some work on some effects and some water stuff as well, right?
Yeah, actually, every ship you see is done by us. So we're also the ship experts.
You're the ship experts. Oh, interesting.
At Game of Thrones, you know.
Yeah.
So MicroVision can do cars and ships.
Wow.
You know. And
do you do any trains too?
No.
Planes,
if you have to.
Upcoming,
that's right.
So we also did also the water simulation and the water surface rendering.
Uh-huh.
Like the simulation from the boat wake around the ship. So we did this also with Phoenix. So,
yeah, that's great to hear. I just found out that you guys are using Phoenix on that. You guys and Switch, so it's really cool. What do you think of that? I mean, obviously it looks amazing. So how was that process going?
Yeah, we had a lot of support from Chaos Group actually, because our main effects guy worked together with one of the Chaos Group developer directly, and I think they're now friends because of all the long emails they wrote.
Right.
Yeah. So they really support us. We worked a lot with nightlies, so we regressed some features to make it look cooler or this and that, and get the motion blur fixed and stuff like that. And the good thing about it, when I worked on season 3, we did all the water simulation with Naiad, but that meant that we had to go out of the 3D package, simulate in Naiad, and then import it in. So we had two days turnaround time or something like that.
It's nice to do it in one package. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now we can stay in 3D Max, so we had much faster turnaround time.
Okay.
So we have a new version basically every day, which helped a lot, you know. So fewer iterations, faster turnaround time was great.
And then the shaders are more compatible with each other as well, because you can just use the Phoenix shaders and everything else, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you've been doing, obviously, there's more. Did you do ships on the season 4 or season 5 or both of them?
Both.
Both of them?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we've built up an asset library, so we can exchange like caches for sales and everything.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What about, I mean, obviously there's a lot of amazing concept, or there must be some amazing concept work that you guys are doing and referencing, or are you guys creating that concept art yourself?
Partly. Sometimes we get the concepts, and sometimes we come up with our own concept.
Right.
So it depends.
So your matte painters are serving as concept artists as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many matte painters do you guys have right now?
Well, staff, it's three.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we have... But we are small.
You can get away with three artists.
Course, when we work on project, we have some guys we know a very sure. long time, and we bring them in as
right.
As
so you have some freelancers. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a very very good core team with just senior guys, so also in the compositing department and the 3D department. They worked at ILM and Wetter and everything.
So. And are you guys hiring them here? Because you guys have offices everywhere, you may just hire them at different offices as well? Or?
Yeah, at the moment, our visual effects department is only in Stuttgart.
So ah, okay.
You know, we want to keep this all kind of healthy, if this makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, to first make us stable and everything, and then we do...
It is a little bit harder when you're trying to make a team, especially if you're trying to keep that team very small. To split up your team, because that a communication time yeah. breaks down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But let's see, we now working for a couple of shots are now also done in Munich, not for Game of Thrones, but mm-hmm. another project. So also some guys we know for a long time, they also worked with us on Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
So also the Munich office is now doing couple of visual effect shots.
Okay, great. So you're starting to expand a little bit on your
a little bit, yeah.
But I mean, are you guys doing other projects as well? Obviously, Game of Thrones is what you guys have started. Only it's only been 2 years, but you guys are doing other projects as well.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we have a couple of drum projects we worked on, which uh-huh. was Starfighter, which was in the 70s. There was a military jet which has some problems about the engines. It was a drama about a political thing.
Uh-huh. Is it a movie or a series?
It is a TV movie.
Ah, okay.
Then we had the feature film Georg Elser. It was a drama, Nazi drama
uh-huh.
thing. And at the moment we just started to work on Shannara, which is a MTV series.
Okay.
And
what's the series about?
It's based on a novel. It's a kind of a apocalyptic fantasy story.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that's very interesting setting, I have to say. Very right. interesting design.
Right. So tell me a little bit about your philosophy in terms of your pipeline. How do you try to keep your pipeline working? Like you said, when you came here, the pipeline was very much set up for automotive
yeah.
work. And how different was that from visual effects? How would you compare them? And what?
Completely, because the pipeline here, when we come here, you have to think they, like the automotive guys, have to produce, you know, really, literally millions of images. So this is completely different. And they're more stylized because of the advertising market.
Sure. Yeah,
you know.
And those are stills, mainly.
And they are stills. And these and 360s.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Turntables. Right.
Turntables.
So actually for car configurators. So if you combine all the different possibilities you have for exterior and interior
yeah.
and multiply it, you get millions of images. And so we got actually produced and established a complicated but also sophisticated pipeline to provide all these mass images
right.
in a very short time. This is actually our core pipeline here at Stuttgart for all other major clients,
okay.
not only for Daimler. So this is the base, actually.
And so that pipeline, was there parts of that pipeline that were beneficial to you that you did not necessarily realize?
We really looked in it, but we first tried, you know, to integrate our visual effects pipeline in that. But it was getting too complicated because there are some tools we couldn't change because it would break the pipeline
right.
for the automotive guys. So we ended up really to build our pipeline from scratch just in a couple of months. So we hired one pipeline TD guy,
yeah.
and he helped us. Excuse me.
Yeah,
he helped us really to establish then a shotgun. So basically what we build is then a
gotcha.
Connection from all our tools to Shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, we're just looking into switching to F-Track.
Okay.
So it doesn't have so much impact because we're just, you know, exchanging basically the database, which is Shotgun and F-Track.
Right.
So the all the naming convention and all the folder structure still remains the same.
Okay.
It's just, you know, the information is stored now in a... little bit a different way, but
right.
That's it.
And it's mainly just tracking shots is the main thing that it's doing. But do you also use it to track your own development as well or other things?
Well, other departments, for example, our R&D department, they also use it for track their projects and everything.
Okay.
So,
and what is your main pipeline? You guys use Max, I'm assuming?
Yeah, we use Max, our main 3D package, then a little bit of XSI, a little bit of Maya sometimes. Uh-huh. And V-Ray as our main renderer.
Right.
And then, of course, we use Nuke and Photoshop. Yeah, sure. Standard.
Sure. And what is your render capability? Do you guys... what's your render farm software, your render queue system? Are you guys using Deadline or something?
No. At MicroVision, there was Cube.
Oh, Cube, yeah.
So we also use Cube.
Yeah. Okay, and you're able to just integrate all of that as well?
Yes.
That's cool. And I was one more question about that. Oh, how big is your render farm, actually?
It's like like 60 nodes or
60
something.
Nodes.
But the thing is that we have a switch, so our workstations in the evening switch into the render farm.
Right.
So overnight.
And they're all stored here?
The render farm is here, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so only 60 nodes.
It's actually not so big, right? So
no, that's not big.
No.
That's like a one rack of computers, right?
So
yeah, that's very small.
Yeah, so we have to be
your render times are very must be pretty good if you're able to get away with that.
Well, we try to optimize it, yes.
Right.
And as I said, when we have now overnight and we have 100 machines plus because all the workstations get into the farm. So it's,
but I'm used to it. I've been in a place where there's 1,000 computers.
Yeah.
So.
No, we are not. We are not a digital domain. Unfortunately not.
The problem is sometimes when there's 1,000 computers, it's like, it accidentally took very long time. It'll get done.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't necessarily worry about it. So when you have 60, you sort of restrict yourself. You have to be efficient.
Yeah. So absolutely. Absolutely. But that's also why we work mainly with senior guys. They know what to do, you know, to bring the render times down.
Right. Well, that's really cool. And I've really kind of like it. I know we're going to cut the podcast short so that you can move on. But I'd love to talk to Tian a little bit more about the business of what you guys are doing and how that impacts and a little bit more about the history of the company. But thanks so much for joining us, and it's been really, really great.
You're welcome.
Cool.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You presented over at V-Ray Days, right?
Yes.
What were you presenting over there?
I was presenting about the use of Phoenix FD and VRC 3.0 in Game of Thrones, season 5 now.
And season 5 now, right? Yeah. So you guys have, this is your second season you've done at MacroVision, is that correct?
Second at MacroVision and... Fourth for me
overall.
Yeah.
Right. So you've been doing this for a while. How much do you watch the show?
Yep, absolutely.
Of course. Have you read any of the books?
No, but my girlfriend has.
Your girlfriend has?
Yeah. She always spoilers.
That's not nice. But what's interesting now is that they're actually starting to do that because there's a lot of people who have read the books, so they're becoming less tied directly to the books now. They're actually becoming a little bit more different. In fact, there's things that are happening in the series that haven't happened in the books. So those who read the books can still get some surprises when they watch the other one, which I think is kind of fun, which is great. So tell me a little bit about what you presented.
I presented about the use of Phoenix FD.
Yeah? So how was Phoenix?
We used it for the water simulations, you know, the ship-water interactions.
Uh-huh.
And we used it to simulate the foam.
The foam, okay.
Mainly
so tell me about
the wake.
Yeah, tell me about how the foam was working, because that's something that's kind of cool about Phoenix. It does really good foam, right?
Yeah, it was one of our reasons why we have chosen Phoenix.
Right.
Because the foam rendering shading models there are really cool compared to other packages. When you use other packages like Naiad or Realflow, you would have to use a point renderer.
Right.
For the white cap, some white water.
Right.
And since we had to do really close-up shots,
right,
a simple point render can start to look like snow or like mist.
Right.
And in Phoenix, you have the opportunity to, the option to use real geometric bubbles.
Bubbles, right.
For the particles.
And that makes a big difference even at a distance, right?
in a distance, it's okay to use points,
right.
But the closer you come, the better it is to have really reflections and subtle refractions on it.
Right.
So that makes a difference in close-ups, yes.
And how was the rendering on that? Was that pretty intense to do all those bubbles and stuff like that?
Yep, it was intense. But Ivailo was a great supporter. Uh-huh. He's the developer of Phoenix.
Yeah.
He wrote like 10 emails a day or so.
Yeah, I heard it. You guys actually became almost good friends after a while.
kind of email friends.
Yeah, that's great. And so you were able to get on the nightlies and try new stuff and things like that.
It was like we got a new build every day.
Really?
With custom requested features, bug fixes.
Right.
It was really cool. It was like he was a member of our team.
Yeah, there's sometimes when, you know, it happens often. I've heard that from people where they work closely with Chaos Group and they do things on V-Ray or Phoenix in your case, and that they feel that the developing team has actually, it's not like you're speaking to a department, you're speaking to an individual, and you feel very attached to that, and it becomes much more personal relationship. So that's cool. And so you're mainly a background in effects, or do you do lighting and stuff as well, or
no? I'm specialized in shading and lighting, mm-hmm. but also do FX tasks.
Oh, okay.
For example, in Game of Thrones season 2,
yeah,
I did these shadow creature.
Right, the shadow creature.
That was kind of my first FX tasks. I did look development for that and simulated the particles and rendered it out also.
What was it? Was it rendered in like Krakatoa or was it?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
Krakatoa and V-Ray.
Yeah. Wow. That came out really nice. Because I was wondering when I
read. Kind of scary.
Very scary, right? Because I remember reading about that in the book, and it was this very abstract thing, and I was like, how are they going to represent this dark shadow creature?
It took us quite a lot of time to figure it out.
So did you work on like different looks for it and things of that nature, or did you have specific images that you had to work with to do that?
We had concepts how it should look like.
Uh-huh.
And I mainly developed the technique to simulate the particles, that it looks like these kind of ink and water.
Right.
Water particles.
Oh, okay, that was pretty cool.
And now in season 4 and 5, I did all the water interaction for the ships.
Okay.
Everything with Phoenix. All water surfaces you see are also done with Phoenix. Mm-hmm. It has this Tessendorf ocean texture in it, and it works pretty well.
And what were you guys switched to Phoenix this season, right?
No, we switched in season 4.
You said since season 4. What were you using before that?
Naiad,
okay. And that must have been a little bit more challenging because you have to go back and forth, right? So it was nice.
Exactly, that's the point, because when you're simulating in another package and you have like a multi-million particle simulation and also have long frame ranges,
when you have to cache
you can hit terabytes of data.
Right.
Easily,
and then this
needs to get saved out and read in another package, and alone this step can take really a lot of time. With Phoenix, we saved the time because it's integrated very well.
Right, and it also, you already have you were rendering in V-Ray anyway, so you can use the V-Ray Phoenix shaders, which work pretty well, right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, well, that's really cool, then. I'm glad you were able to share that with us, because I think a lot of people have been, you know, sort of wondering about using Phoenix in different test cases, and if they want to see it. Obviously, you can see Game of Thrones, it is very successful. So it'd be really cool. When are you guys going to wrap up on it? Are you wrapped up on it now?
We have wrapped up season 5.
Season 5, okay. Yeah. So everything is already done in effects for that. Now, how long ago did you guys wrap up?
I think 1 week or so.
Oh, wow.
So the main part was... then I think a month ago, but there's still some tiny bits to change. But
and so you guys pretty much have to do all the effects that you have to do in basically a one year period, right? In a sense.
Yeah, it's like half a year.
Half a year. Mm-hmm. So 6 months, you do all the effects that you're going to do. Do you guys go on set as well and do all of that?
From time to time.
Okay, that must be pretty interesting. Yeah. What are some of the other... actually, before we even get into that, tell me actually, what is your background? Where did you come from?
I've started using V-Ray, I think, in 2002 or so. I can't remember exactly.
Okay, so that's when it started.
Yeah, so when it started, a version 1.  something.
And what were you doing in V-Ray at that time?
I was always fascinated by shading lighting, so I specialized on this.
Okay, but what was your education to do that?
I've learned it at home.
Oh, you learned it at
home?
Via
internet.
Uh-huh. So you always had a passion for lighting, and where did you go from there?
I've worked as a freelancer.
Okay.
For, I think, 12 years or so.
Okay.
In different companies in Germany, doing architectural visualization, car visualization,
okay,
commercials, and in 2009 I started with movies,
okay,
and TV shows.
Movies and TV shows. Okay, so 2009, what was your first TV show or movie that you worked on?
It was called Crash Point. It was a German television movie about an airplane crashing.
Oh, okay. And did you do a lot of the effects on that as well? Or?
No effects at this time, only shading lighting.
Shading and lighting, okay. And what other kind of movies did you work on?
I've worked, for example, at Hugo Capri,
mm-hmm,
and Oblivion. We did the bubble ship, the spaceship.
Yeah.
I did the shading lighting for that.
Okay, because I know exactly what that is, because we were doing it over at Digital Domain. I was the lighting supervisor on there.
We shared the asset with them.
We did, yeah.
And also was the lead modeler on that.
Right.
On that bubble ship. Yeah.
Right, and we were doing the drones, and you were doing the bubble ship.
Exactly, so we exchanged them.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting to go through that whole process. So Stuttgart actually has quite a strong visual effects community, right?
I mean,
there's some really interesting companies that are doing a bunch of different types of work here too, mm-hmm, right?
I think it's mainly because we have some really good schools here.
Yeah.
For example, the Filmacar, Baden-Württemberg. They're really doing awesome jobs there.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear about the Film Academy, because they are, you're right, they're a very good school, but they're also, there's a couple things that are very interesting about them. One is they're very exclusive. It's actually very hard to get into the school, right? You have to go through a whole interview process and all of that. And you also have to already know visual effects of some kind, right?
Yeah.
And because they pretty much throw you in there with very few teachers, and you have to basically become a studio and do your own work and figure out what it's like.
Yeah, but I think it's really fun.
Yeah, so it is fun, because you
doing a movie on your own for like a year or so.
Right, because you come out of that school with experience as opposed to just learning everything. So it's really
hard to get in. I know people who applied 3 times.
Really?
Then it worked.
Yeah.
And so they were already good before they applied. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so there's a lot of, obviously they support FMX, they're the main reason behind FMX, right? And so it happens here in Stuttgart, and it brings together, you know, a lot of education, professionals like you guys, and other companies as well from all around the world. And I think the fact that that Stuttgart has sort of put itself in that position is really kind of interesting. So you work in the visual effects area, which is kind of a new area for MacroVision, is that correct?
Yeah, they opened the VFX department 2 years ago.
Right.
And I started 2 years ago here, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's really good, because I think that the idea that happened, how big is the visual effects department here?
It's like 20 to 40 people, depending on the project. But
right.
20 is the lowest.
The lowest, right. What other projects are you working on now? Since you said that the Game of Thrones is finished, so you're still busy, because you're going to have to leave early because you have to go render, because you've been in FMX the whole time.
Yeah, we're all already working on another really cool show. Can't tell the name, sadly,
okay.
But
it's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
Is it an international show as well?
Or? It's international, and I think will be pretty cool also.
Oh, okay, great. Can you mention what you're doing on it, or you're doing a lot of effects and lighting, or both, or the same kind of things that you're doing, or anything new or interesting that we should be looking forward to?
At the moment, I do both.
Okay, all right.
And we also have some movies in the pipeline, so but not a lot to talk about.
Of course not. No, I wouldn't ask you to. But it'd be really interesting to see, because I remember, we were talking about it before, but one of the things that I think is really cool was the fact that you guys put out your reel for season 4 of Game of Thrones, and it just went crazy on the internet.
Yeah,
And I think
it was really cool.
Yeah,
with it us. Was like 4 million clicks in 1 week or so.
Yeah,
and Jonas, our editor, he sits next to this room. He has really fun making these making ofs.
Yeah,
he stays here all night, and for him it was especially cool to see that so many people watched it. So
right,
he's really motivated at it.
There's a very specific story that's being told on Game of Thrones that people follow, and the visual effects sort of complement that. And the environment work was incredible that was done on that. You guys, were you working a little bit with the matte? I heard there was a lot of matte painting that was going on as well, but you must have been working mostly on the lighting and on the other stuff as well, right?
Yes. I did these Bravos.
Bravos.
Did all the water again with Phoenix. And
and the big giant.
The giant and the canyons and the vegetation on that, and the background was a matte painting,
right?
But projected on 3D geometry.
Yeah, I mean, matte. People should realize when people say matte painting doesn't mean it's not 3D, because matte painting actually is become much more 3D. And as a, I know that as a lighter, I worked very closely with the matte painters to do projections and lighting together. Sometimes, and did you? I don't know if you guys did the same thing, but what we used to do is you used to get the mass of the whatever you're going to do with a matte painting, you do a massing model of it just real quickly, and then you light it so that it gives a guide to the matte painter to paint on top of that sometimes.
Yes, exactly. But we actually had a pretty detailed model of the city already.
Oh, so you just went out. And
René Borst, our lead matte painter, basically just painted every house and every roof and just made it look awesome. It was really a lot of work. And yes, exactly, we do a gray shade version with the light direction already in for the matte painter to have a reference and to be 100% sure that the distances and the scales are correct. So
right. And do you guys have dedicated compositors as well?
Or sure.
Okay. Yeah. That must have been some companies actually have the lighters do their own compositing.
We do pre-compositing.
Oh, you do right. Yeah. Or light comps of some kind,
yeah.
Right?
Slab comps we call it, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And we also have very passionate compositors here.
Yeah.
Especially the Bravos shot was a lot of compositing work too.
Yeah. So what were some of the most challenging shots that you remember? Like, can you describe one of them and tell me all the stuff that was going on in one of them?
I think it was Bravos.
Bravos?
Yeah, it was like our first really big project here.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started the VFX department here.
Right.
And was a lot of R&D for me.
Okay.
Because all these canyons.
Mm-hmm.
The hard thing about that was we were really close on them with the camera, so I made it work with displacement when we are really close at it. But then the camera zooms out about, I don't know, 150 meters away, and then the displacement looks like a procedural map or so.
Right.
So you have to make it work from both distances. That was a really hard part for me.
Okay. It
took me like a month or so.
A month for you to feel confident about it working from close and after that. And then obviously the big statue that was there too, right?
Big statue was also very challenging.
Yeah.
Because for the details that was necessary to tell the scale of the giant.
Right. Yeah.
It had, in the end, I think it had 12 million polys or so.
Oh, really?
And like eight or nine 4K maps.
Right. I don't remember if it was this season 5 or season 4 when they arrive and they go underneath the giant.
This was season 5.
Season 5, right. And so you guys did that one as well?
Yeah, I also did that.
Right. I mean, but you really can tell that it's a huge thing. So what was it supposed to be made of? Is it supposed to be made of stone or?
No, it should be bronze.
It's brass, right?
So metal, yeah.
Yeah, it's because it's so massive. You're just like, you don't even know what it's made of, you know, and it's very hard to do it. But I mean,
also should look very old and
It should look like it's been there for 1,000 years or something like that, right? Is there anything that you think would be interesting for people to find out more about you guys? Because I'm sure there's things that would be cool. Are you guys looking for artists or different things that are going on?
Yes, exactly. We are in urgent need of senior 3D artists and also environment artists.
Right.
So if you're interested in joining us, it's a really cool place to work here.
Yes.
one of my best decisions to start as an employee here.
Right.
After 12 years as a freelancer, I'm.
So this is your first non-freelance job?
Yes, exactly. And like changed my life. It's a
really,
really cool place to work here.
And
can really recommend it.
Okay. But it's really cool that you've been able to be in Stuttgart for 12 years, or work in Stuttgart for 12 years the whole time and still do visual effects the whole time.
Haven't worked in Stuttgart for completely 12 years.
Oh, okay.
I worked in all around Germany.
Okay.
But since, I think, 4 years, 5 years now, I'm working in Stuttgart.
Okay. Well, where else in Germany are there some good visual effects companies that people look at working? As a Berlin, I guess, must have some stuff.
Berlin, Frankfurt, Munich also.
Oh, okay.
So Hamburg.
Hamburg, okay. Wow, all right. But do you think, which one is the do you think Stuttgart is more heavy on the visual effects side of things?
I think it's the most crowded place here regarding VFX companies.
Okay. And do you think that's probably due to the Film Academy and the other projects going on as well?
Yeah, and the strong industry here.
Right. Okay. Well, that's really great. I know you have to get back to work. I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but I think it would be it was really cool to be able to talk to you about this and talk about the great work we're doing. And we'll try to post some of the stuff that you guys have done. Obviously, we can post the video you guys did on season 4.
That's for sure. Sure.
But I'd love to be able to see more breakdowns of what you've done in Phoenix, because I think people should be really see what's going on. So if ever you guys get around to doing some stuff, I'd love to see more breakdowns in water and all those bubbles and all.
As soon as we are allowed to, I will.
Okay, that'd be great.
I will give you a mail.
Okay.
Show you.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And what we usually say, because you've been a V-Ray user for a long time, what we usually sign off on the show is we say we're going to let the last bucket drop so that it goes off. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.